Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Show,
your ultimate guide to everything real estate.
Whether you're a first-time buyer, a seasoned investor, or thinking about selling, we have the insights you need. Your host, Larry Shackman,
the real estate therapist and a top-producing broker, will break it down weekly.
We'll dive deep into market trends and speak with industry pros about everything from pricing and negotiation strategies and staging tips to financing options and home inspections. This fast-paced, ever-evolving market it doesn't have to be overwhelming. We are here to guide you through it. Today's show is brought to you by TrustedAgentUSA.com. Get your market value, explore your selling options, and choose your closing date. Go to TrustedAgentUSA.com and do real estate your way. You've got options. Licensed in Illinois. Number 475-145-795. Now, let's dive in. Here's Larry.
All right, everybody, welcome back. And you are tuned into Real Estate Radio on the day, of course, that we celebrate all of our favorite ghouls, goblins, witches, ghosts, and all that, right? And I'm not talking about Election Day, which comes up in about 5 days. So everybody get out there and vote. We have a great guest today, John Hoffman, broker owner at Y Rent Real Estate, is going to join us. Talk about all the things going on in the market. We have a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, there's been a lot of changes in the last, month and a half in the real estate market. We're going to see how that's affected things so far, and we will get started. Let's bring John on right now. There he is, John.
Lawrence.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, how's everything going with you?
It's going good, man. I mean, other than, you know, a lot of not a whole lot of deals going on, but, you know, it's kind of, we're in that environment where the, you know, this election has kind of sucked the wind out of people making moves right now.
Yeah.
I see that in a lot of stuff too, not just real estate, cars and, you know, moving,
Or
just silly stuff. I don't want to go to Costco yet until after the election. It's like, you know, really, it is, man. It's, I'm seeing a lot of bizarre stuff right now. So
yeah,
you know, like you had said the other day, we're just working on next year kind of, you know?
Yeah. You know, you're getting things set up and stuff. Hey, before we jump into all the crazy headlines going on, I want to talk a little bit about this thing called Fee Central, which we'll get into in a second here. But give everybody a little back, because you've been on a couple times with us,
Yeah. But
we've never really given anybody a kind of a look into John Hoffman. You don't have to get too personal, John, but Yeah. Give anybody,
please, no.
A look into John Hoffman and, you know, how you got to where you are now, where you started. Was your family in real estate? How'd you get to Y Rent Real Estate, where you are right now in Batavia? I might
add. Actually, it's kind of interesting. I worked at Motorola back when they were Motorola, when they actually had a foothold in you know, this economy. And I was working there, and one of my friends who worked there helped me buy a house. And I had told him, I said, you know, I was 24 at the time, whatever. I had no money. And I, you know, he's like, well, can you scrape up like $3,000? And I'm like, yeah, but I don't have it to use to buy a home.
Right.
Literally, the guy goes, well, just don't worry about it. You can buy a house. Excuse me. And so, you know, I went to closing, and I got a closing cost credit to cover my down payment. I bought the house with $19. I mean, that's a true story. My
Wow. First
house up in Island Lake. And, I had said, hey, you know, I kind of, you know, I was tired of Motorola. And I was like, hey, why don't you get into real estate? I'll train you. And I still talk to that guy to this day. He got me where I was. And so I got into real estate. And, you know, I started to realize the deals I was doing, I didn't need a big broker. You know, I was doing my own thing. And, you know, why give them 35% or whatever it was at the time? And,
Yeah. You know, and yeah.
I just said, you know what, I'm going to do this on my own. And I went open Y Rent Real Estate in 2001 and been rocking ever since. So we're 23 years in, and, you know, it was best move I ever made, you know, because it helps you survive downturns too when you're
Oh, yeah. Not
coughing up money to a broker, you know?
Yeah.
So
who'd that guy work for?
What's that?
Who'd that guy work for that sold you that first home? It had to
be Remax. It was Remax Central up in, not Central, Remax, whatever. I forget the name of them, but in Grays Lake. They were in Grays Lake, still there.
You know, back in the day, you saw Remax signs, Coldwell Banker signs, and maybe Baird & Warner signs.
Yeah.
That's what we saw. Then all of a sudden.
Century 21.
What's that? And Century 21.
Century 21.
Yeah. And maybe a couple others, but those were the big guys.
Right. Oh, you're frozen. You are frozen, my friend, unless I am. Still there.
Recycling. There we go. Started with Coldwell Banker. And it's funny because I worked there for about 6 months until I realized the same thing you realized. And that is, I don't need a big broker. You know, I had my first really good deal where I was on the buy side and the sell side. You know, I helped someone sell their home and I helped them buy another home.
Right. You're frozen again. Unfreeze Larry, please. All right, this is the John Hoffman show, I guess. It's just me now. He gone. Technical difficulties here on the real estate radio show.
There we go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Weird. But anyway, let's start over. But I, you know, I, like you, I started out with Coldwell Banker back in 2000. And it's strange because one of my first deals was a deal where I helped somebody sell their home in Arlington Heights and helped them buy a home out here in Naperville. And like you, I thought the same thing. This was my referral. It wasn't like I got, you know, doing floor time or anything like that.
God, remember that floor time?
Yeah, floor time. Where'd that go?
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. So it was my referral. And, you know, it was like all in probably $25,000, $26,000 payday on both of those transactions, and I gave back like 50% of that to my broker.
Oh yeah, those were the days.
Yeah, and I'm like, what? This is insane.
You thought you had no other option. You're like, well, this is just how real estate works.
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. And so that same year, about 6 months into my career at Coldwell Banker, I was voted, and we had probably 110. Agents at this office on 75th Street in Naperville at the time.
I remember that office. I do remember that. There was a ton of agents.
I was voted rookie of the year, right? At this brokerage. Here's the problem. I walked into my broker's office, and she was a wonderful lady, Marge Heyman, and sat down. She goes, Larry, I wanna really congratulate you. You're doing a great job. We're gonna boost you up to 52%. And I'm like, I'm out of here, man. I mean, I walked out of that office and I immediately started planning. You know, I was thinking, oh, they're gonna get me up to 80% now, rookie of the year, right? Cool.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
And that's not including the franchise fee, you know. Mm-hmm. My allergies are horrible, but the I remember saying to my managing broker at the time, at Coldwell when I worked in Geneva, 1995, 96, and it was like, yeah, what's with these franchises? How do we get rid of those? She goes, there's no way around franchise fees. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, thanks. And I guess I'm stuck with an 8% franchise fee on every deal I do. Yeah. But it's almost like, you know, it's like the NAR. You know, all that money does is funnel into the golf fund, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. And you're right, Century 21 has that. They have that 8% franchise fee that they say goes to advertising.
Yeah, all that bullshit, right?
Right, all that stuff we really need in our life, right? Right. Now comes your split, which let's say if you're lucky when you start, it's 75-25. So immediately, you're at 62% or 63%, right. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
And that's why, hey, that's why, you know, I think that model of just, well, we'll have 46 agents, five of them will sell a lot, most of them won't, you know, 10 of them won't sell anything, but we'll collect fees from them. I don't think that model is going to work much longer. I think you're going to see a lot of these consolidate because these agents are just like, we can't even make, I mean, that's my fear, not my fear, but I think it's just happening and it probably should. Is these agents that sell four or five a year and they just, and you give them these buyer leads, they're going to have a hard time now because at least buyers are like, well, I don't know if I want to sign up with you. And, you know, and that's become a mess. This whole, you know, agents don't know what's going on and they don't know how to handle this stuff. And I just think that those are a lot of those agents where they sell four or five a year, they're just going to go away because it's not worth it for them. And, you know, agents are getting full-time jobs and, you know, it's, they're not, they, you know, I don't know why we waste your time at that point, you know?
Yeah. I think the agents that are going to stay in this, that, you know, some who are now going and getting full-time jobs, I think they're leaving the industry, but remember,
and they should too.
And they should, you know, I don't, you know, I think there should be some type of a threshold before you could actually call yourself a realtor. Okay. Right. So, you know, to come on and represent somebody in the most expensive thing they're ever going to buy, the biggest transaction they're ever going to make in their life, probably, right, for most people. And, you know, to do it part time and to sell one or two houses a year, you are not going to have that iron sharpened enough to actually know what you're doing and to, you know, help somebody maneuver through, especially now in this real estate market, through all this crazy stuff going on.
Right. Hey, man, it's like I always said, I've said this for 20 years. It's like there should be a requirement of agents that they do 1 million in sales every year. That, what is that, three deals?
Yeah.
You'd get rid of
that now.
You'd get rid of 60% of the agents this year if you made a requirement they had to do 1 million. You want to make it even tougher? Have them do 1 million to people they've never met in their lives.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of these guys just do family and, you know, oh, yeah, my sister or whatever. And that's great. But, you know, force people to sell homes to people they've never met. Oh, good luck with that. You know,
people get into it too. You know, I've invested in properties. You've invested in properties. We work with investors. A lot of people get their real estate license because they're investors and they just want to max out their ROI. So instead of paying a commission to someone else, and I get it, I would do that too, but that's a little different than getting your license and representing John Q. Public, purchasing a $700,000 or $800,000 or more than that house. And you really don't know all of the ins and outs and what's going to come and how you're going to deal with it. And you only get that through experience and transacting.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It is. It's, you know, this, and I think we're heading into a whole new era of this whole thing, you know. And it's funny, too, because I have a new agent working for me and she's doing really well. And I told her, I said, the good thing for you is you're coming in at a rough time.
Yeah.
You know, you'd rather them the newbies come in and get their brains knocked around right away, you know, because when things get really good and hot again, you know, they'll be able to really succeed. You know, sometimes, you know, coming in, you know, it's like, you know, even a turkey can fly in a hurricane, you know. Mm-hmm. So when you come in a hot market, everybody can sell three, four, five homes in a year. But man, I'll tell you what, you get into the times we're in right now, you're lucky to get 3, 4, or 5 people to talk to you in a year, you know, as a new agent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with that. I mean, and I think really, I don't know if you do this at your firm, but I think new agents really need to be mentored. They really do.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, they should. I've always, and that's what I did when I got my license. I spent a year 50-50 split under this guy's wing. And I learned, you know, 90% of what I know, I learned from him. You know, how to get deals done, how to, you know, make it work, how to handle objections and all that. You know, a lot of these players, they get a license. I've had agents come to me and go, you know, oh, yeah, I got your number from whatever, and I just got my license. I want to work for you. And I'm like, well, you know, 50-50, but we'll, you know, or 60-40, but, and we'll, you know, we'll train you, though. We'll get you where you need to be in the next 6 to 12 months. And they're like, yeah. Well, you know, I got real estate offering me 80-20. And, you know, I'm like, well, go there then, because you're not going to learn anything. They're just going to go, here's your handle and good luck selling real estate. They don't care. They don't. They're a numbers game. They just want to bring on 100 agents. If they get 5 to sell stuff, they'll make some money. You know?
Well, that's the model. You know, the agent is the cash cow for a lot of these brokerages, right? Certainly for the NAR. How does the NAR make money? They make money because they have 1 million agents that all pay them $70 a year or whatever it is to them.
A month.
But, you know, they pay them, agents pay them a good amount of money. And, you know, yeah, that's their model. The more agents, the better. But that's not the best model for the public. And honestly, if I was buying a house right now, I have a house, but if I was buying a house right now, I would 100% work with a real estate agent that has some experience and that has built up that thick skin and gone through several different markets where they actually know what they're doing. They know what's coming. They know how to handle it. They know how to advise you.
Absolutely.
And it's important because you get one shot to make a huge mistake purchasing the biggest thing, most expensive thing you're ever going to purchase.
Right. Hey, when I get referrals, I've referred people down to like Alabama, Florida. And when I have people call, hey, John, can you refer me to somebody? I'm like, yeah. And I vet that. I mean, I go, hey, who's the busiest guy in your office? The office I call in, you know, whatever, in Montgomery, Alabama. Hey, who's your busiest guy? You know, he's the guy that's going to get the referral I give him because I know he's going to take care of him, and, you know, and I'll make some money on it. You know, and that's the way you got to do it. You don't want to send them down there to some schmo that sells 2 houses a year, you know?
Yeah. Nick, you look bad. I literally actually, I got this really good lead off of the radio show of a lady that was selling a property in Walkerton, Indiana, on a lake in Walkerton, and really nice 6,000 square foot home on a lake, needed some updating, and $899,000 listing, right? Now, did I just call up any broker I could find in Walkerton and say, hey,
I got
a great lead for you? And, you know, of course, they're all going to say, yeah, send it over. No, I vetted the best agents out there.
Absolutely. I found
a great agent, and he's doing a great job. You know, as with a lot of sellers, they probably put the house on the market overpriced. And they're, you know, we've dropped the price by $25,000, probably not enough, but, you know, people have to learn on their own.
Right.
You know, you can't force somebody to price a property correctly if they just are hell bent
on
pricing it as high as they think they can, because it can always come down, and that's just not the way to do it.
Yeah. And then, you know, hey, Larry, I got shelves in the garage. I know what this is worth. You know, it's like, okay, I got carpet in the bathroom, you know, it's like, okay, Mr. Seller, you know, I mean, you hear it all, man, especially in this market, you know, and then they want the cheapest commission they can get. And it's like, look, man, you know, we're here to help, you know, and, you know, it's like this whole commission thing is so, ridiculous with, you know, that we're overpaid. I mean, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. What's the average salary? Like 47,000 for a realtor? You know,
that is also crazy. You know, all the attorneys out there, the attorneys that were prosecuting this big case out of Missouri and what got everything changed and everything we're dealing with now, which frankly hasn't changed much of anything at all.
There's more lawsuits now, isn't there?
Yeah.
I keep seeing more stuff popping.
Yeah, but, you know, I find it funny that these attorneys, you know, are pointing to us as, oh, we're colluding, we're keeping commissions high. It's been at 2 and 2.5% for 400 years.
No, right.
What are you talking
6%
about?
6%. I'm like, when was the last time I got that? I don't even remember.
Meanwhile, these attorneys are making like $800 million, not including their expenses, right, to split up between themselves, while all the class action participants are going to get about $1.50 a piece.
Right. Yep.
Well, it's all just fodder out there. You know,
it is, man. It's, you know, and the NAR basically choked on that and just said, well, just solve it because we don't want to be insolvent, you know? So exactly. They just go, well, we'll just settle it, throw them some cash and shut them up, not really solving any problems whatsoever, but at least they kept them in business, you know. But I saw something where, what is that out in, is it New York or some agent is suing NAR because it's not, you know, they're like, it's a monopoly. Why do I have to be in your big conglomerate of BS that really doesn't help us at all, you know?
Yeah, I know you're right. There's an agent out of, I don't know, I'm not sure if it's New York or where, but I know the exact place you're talking about.
Yeah, and I love it.
This agent is suing the NAR because they say the NAR is a monopoly. They're forcing us to be members of the NAR just so we can call ourselves a realtor and so that we can have access to the MLS, and that's a monopoly. We shouldn't have to be members of the NAR just to have access to the MLS.
So especially when all our listings go into Zillow anyways.
Yeah.
You know how many calls I get from Zillow to buy leads? I'm like, I've told them, I'm like, I'm not paying for my own leads. I'm just not. And there's people out there spending $10,000 a month on Zillow leads. I'm like, agents, I mean, I'm like, I don't know, man. It's really a kind of sad state of affairs.
I have gotten so many calls from Zillow. And like I told you on the phone the other day, I'm a premier agent at Zillow. But what I do is I get the cheapest zip code I can find just so I have access to the coming soon and some of the other features that I can benefit my seller clients with.
Right.
So I pay like $30 a month to be a premier agent there. So I have access to these tools, but I don't buy their leads. It's insane. You're buying your own leads.
Yeah. One zip code is, you know, I think $350 a month or $400. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I mean, and, you know, there's no guarantee for, I mean, you know how many buy lead places I have calling me right now that are just, you know, and I'm like, I tell the guys, I'm like, look, I'll give you 35% referral fee. All right. Give me solid leads, but they all want monthly money. And it's like, I'm not paying you monthly. Those never work out. The leads are always dog. You know what? By the time they get to you, you know, the whole thing is just, there's so many, I'm getting bombarded with, you know, people trying to sell you on, oh, buy our leads. We got great leads. You know, nobody has great leads. Yeah, lead is the one that calls directly to you off of whatever listing.
Exactly.
You
know? That raises their hand and say, hey, John, I'm curious. Can you help me with this?
Right. Yeah. That's the only good leads that are out there. These recycled ones are, I mean, we've had ones where, you know, we get tons of, we're part of this one. We get some deals off of it, but I mean, you got to go through 50, 60 to get the one maybe, you know? And we get some of them where they send you a lead and they already bought. They closed 3 months ago. You know, you're like, okay, thanks. Great lead.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Happens all the time. Hey, I'm curious. When you bring on a new agent, and, you know, we talked about mentoring new agents and all that, do you bring them on at a different commission structure and a different structure in terms of how they get to that next level where they're on their own.
Yeah, it's, I mean, really, it's like beginning, it's 50-50, 55-45, maybe 60-40 if there's a lot of good potential there. But anybody new, you know, the thing is, if you, I've had agents come to me and go, hey, I want to come work for you. It's like, well, what have you been doing? Oh, I've been over here for 2 years and over there for 3 years. And, you know, a lot of these agents just jump ship for an extra $50. And it's like, that's not the one you want. I'm at the point now in my career where I don't want, you know, kind of used up recycled realtors now. It's for what, you know, I mean, I get them coming to me, though, like I was telling you earlier that, you know, I can get 80-20 at properties. Well, go there. I mean, either come in here to learn and be part of a good system, or you're not, you know, anybody can jump, just go from office to office, you know? Yeah. I mean, every office will take you, you know, here's my license. Okay, boom. There's a whole list of them that'll take you.
Well, what do they have to lose? They're just going to sit and wait for you to, you know, that they don't lose any money if you don't sell anything. And when you sell something, they make a little money. So if you sell two or three deals a year, that's what I said. It's all a head count, and it's all about, you know, each agent being a profit center, which I get, you know, you're in business. Right. Those agents are your profit center. But for bigger companies, a lot of times, I think that's a losing proposition. And you're seeing Baird & Warner now start to kind of cut loose agents that are not producing.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. It's the way it should be.
Yeah. We do the same thing, by the way, with newer agents. They come on at 50-50 for their first four deals. Then they go up to 80-20. Once they hit their cap, then they're at 100%. If we bring on an agent that really has a lot of history in their background in terms of they've had some transactions the previous year. So if somebody comes on and they've done $3.5 million the previous year, they're going to start at 90-10.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you make exceptions for that. But yeah, somebody who just got their license last week, it's like, look, man, you have to pay your dues in this business, you know? It isn't just, oh, I'll be 80-20 and go there. Go ahead, because you're not going to learn anything from that, you know. Yeah. And then when you start getting frustrated because you can't put a deal together for a year and a half, you'll figure out why you're not making any deals, because you never got trained, you know.
Exactly. It's so important. You got to hook up with somebody that's really going to pour some time into you, really is going to, you know, help you progress where you can go out there and make a living on your own. Because it's not easy in this business.
Yeah, and my agents, they can call me anytime and I'll answer every question. You know, I back them all the way. If I have to go make nasty calls because they're getting screwed by something, I do.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do. I just had one 2 weeks ago, not even 2 weeks ago, where we closed the deal. They lost the earnest money. The Remax lost the earnest money. And they owed us our commission. They wouldn't and they wouldn't cut our commission from the attorney's office because they didn't have the earnest money. And I'm like, well, that's your problem. You know, because
earnest money.
Yeah, it wasn't lost like it was in the garbage. It was lost. Right. We didn't know who had it. Well, it turned out someone at Remax had it. You know, but I called the broker at Remax. I'm like, you know, this is your problem. And I told him, if I don't have a check in, you know, in the next week or two, you know, well, you got to give him some time to sort it out. That's fine. But, you know, I'm like, I even called the Omnibud program, and they said, hey, once you file, it's $500 and he's paying it. You know, the guy said it's a clear case where you're going to get paid. Yeah. So if we're going to charge you $500, he's going to get stuck paying it. I'm like, hey, man, we can do it the easy way or the hard way. Eventually we got our check. But, you know, it's that's what I mean. The people in this business that are there's no professionalism in this. And this is a Remax office.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, and he's like, oh, I didn't, you know, yeah, this deal's been a mess. I'm like, well, that's because of you, you know. Or why isn't the earnest money there? Why was it not when it funded? You know, and in the attorney's office who cut all the, you know, anyways, it's just, you know, that's the stuff that where I, you know, that was for my agent. That wasn't me. That was her, one of my agents. So I had to go out on the beaten path and track that down. I spent 2 weeks on that. Tracking.
And you know what?
If you're a new agent, sending nasty emails.
If you're a new agent, you need somebody like that in your corner, because you're not going to do that stuff yourself.
She is new. She is new.
And, you know, we talked about a lot of changes, right? Just because of this DOJ case and everything going down in the last, you know, month and a half or so, whatever it is. We're going to take a 30-second break. But when we come back, I want to talk about this new thing called Fee Central. And we'll get into that.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio, sponsored in part by TrustedAgentUSA.com, the ultimate real estate matchmaker, saving you thousands. Now back to Larry, the real estate therapist.
All right, so we're back with John Hoffman over the broker owner over at Why Rent Real Estate in Batavia. And John, by the way, you're going to be out at Batavia Halloween Fest, right?
That was this past weekend, Saturday.
Oh, what's that? Okay, tell everybody a little bit about what was that like and what's
it's
that
just,
about?
It's just, you said we had a booth, we had two booths and give out candy. We were taking Polaroids. You know, we had a setup for, you know, the kids could sit in this cute little setup. You can go check out our website with it. But it was fun. We had, you know, we had a raffle and we probably got 120 people put their info in there, you know, asking them, hey, you know, are you looking to sell, buy in the next year, whatever? You know, we're not out there to harass people. Just, you know, see if anyone needs any help out there, you know. And yeah, it was highly successful. It always is. We've been doing that for about 5 years now. Luckily, the weather worked out, man, because the first time – we always go back to the first time we did it, and it was a high of like 42 and rain.
Nice.
So it was
welcome
like,
to Chicago.
Yeah, wow. But it was highly successful. We had a lot of people stopping by. So.
Oh, that's great. I'm sure you were dressed up as Sammy Hagar.
No, I did not. I don't do the I try to be the corporate guy and just be the front man.
Boring. John, I know that's not you, so come on.
Yeah, right.
So pull the curtain back, man.
I know, I had a lot of fun.
Cool.
Gets us in the mark for Batavia too. It keeps us in front of people, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great idea, great thing to do. You know, we talked about how before the break, how many things have changed in real estate in the last, I want to say, month and a half or so with the DOJ case, with all the main things that came down are, A, if you're working with a buyer now, you have to have a buyer's agreement with them spelling out what they are responsible for if the seller does not pay that concession to help you meet your what you have to pay your buyer's agent. Okay, so if they don't do that, now the buyer has to know upfront what they may be on the hook for, 2%, whatever.
Right.
And the other thing was no more listing in the MLS. There's nothing in there now about what you, I, or any other buyer's agent, when you're working with the buyer, is going to be paid what your brokerage is going to be paid as in terms of the buyer's commission. Right. So there's none of that in there anymore. Nobody knows. You just don't know. You don't even know if the seller is going to participate and pay that concession so the buyer can meet their obligation.
Right.
So we've had, and I'm going to share a screen here now because, I want to show everybody this new service, John, that just popped up, and it is called.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Fee Central.
Yeah.
Right. So let me just get back in here because I want to log in so we can see. So,
how legal is that? You know,
well, and this is what I was going to say. So just to give everybody a sense of what it is. So now, because we can no longer put what our seller is willing to pay a buyer agency to bring the buyer to the table, we have to either go back and forth with emails, you know, is the buyer, is the seller going to be paying any type of buyer agency commission? If so, what is it? And so you either have to go back and forth with emails or phone calls to find that out. Or what I do on my listings is I just simply say to everybody, if as long as the seller is willing to do this, that the seller is willing to pay a concession. But they're not going to say what it is or what it isn't. Just come in with your offer, include whatever your buyer agency fee is, and we'll go from there. We're going to look at every offer objectively and go from there. And right. I actually think that's a good way to do it. I really do.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to go through all that and go back and forth with listing agents, either through emails or telephone calls or text messages, you know, it's not like we don't have enough of that to do anyway, right? Now there's this site called Fee Central where you could put your listing up there and also put on that same site, because it's off the MLS, what the commission is for buyer agency. And my first question was, when I saw this, was, is this legal?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Sure it's not, but
I don't know.
It's good for now, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, like I tell everybody, and I'm sure you do as well, real estate is local. It's all local. There's different rules for different towns, different states. You know, it can get really, really localized. So you have to be careful, because somebody in New York comes up with something and says, hey, here's a great idea. You can go put your listing here, find out what all the commissions are on any listing you're showing somebody. But it might not be legal where you are.
Yeah, and Larry, too, it's like, what does it cost? Okay, so this is another Fee Central, which we're going to be paying a fee to be in Fee Central. Well, okay, so just what us real estate agents need is more bills to pay just to be in the business.
Right. You know? Right, and, you know, that's something people don't realize when they get into the business. You're going to pay to be in this business. It's as simple as that. It's like any other business, you got to come out of pocket with money, not just to get in the business, but to actually have a business.
Right.
You got to come out
of pocket. That's the thing too, is, you know, some of the agents too, when they're not selling, you know, I've had that where it's like, well, you know, I don't cost you to be here. Yeah, you do cost me. I pay for E&O. I have an office. I don't charge you a desk fee. Yeah, there's, I don't care. Yeah, you have to sell. Sorry. You know, this isn't a not-for-profit organization, you know, and this be, you know, this Fee Central, I see it already. It's like first 4 months are free. Well, what's it going to cost after that? Just to find out what I'm going to be paid.
Yeah.
I mean, Larry, you're probably more like me, but I'm old school. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to send them an email and go, what are you paying? I got a listing to show. What are you paying? Done.
Of course.
You know, that's my Fee Central, you know?
Yeah. Real simple. I actually talked about this with an attorney, a friend of mine. And before this, when it just happened, I said, hey, you know, I got this idea. What do you think of this? It was exactly this. And he, like us now, is saying, I don't know, man, I don't think it's going to work, because it's too easy to find this information out just by shooting a text to somebody.
Right.
And the other thing is that I think the way most people are going to handle it in this new age of real estate is they are going to just simply say, hey, my seller is willing to pay a buyer agency commission. Just put that in the offer so we know what you're looking for. And we're going to look at all offers as they come in. I think that's the easiest way to do this without having this conversation with your seller about, hey, what should it be? And, you know, are you going to, you know, bottom line is, if you're a seller and you're not offering some type of co-op commission or concession, so the buyer can meet that obligation, you're going to miss out on a lot of buyers, because
absolutely,
I will tell you, 95% of your offers that you're going to get, if not more, and probably more, I'm being nice here and very conservative, but 95%+ of offers you're going to get as a seller they're going to include a buyer agency commission.
Absolutely.
If you just immediately say, kick that to the curb, be happy with the one or two offers that are going to come in, maybe without that, which I doubt even that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I've had a couple of my clients, my investor clients go, oh, so you don't have to pay anymore, huh? To the other side, that's awesome. I'm like, well, I mean, it's awesome until you can't sell, you know? It's like, well, what do you mean? You know, well, you know, who's going to bring the buyer? Well, you know, it's, well, you know, and a lot of them are like, well, the buyer has to pay his agent. It's like, no, that's not going to fly. Especially when we get into a tougher market where stuff doesn't fly off the shelf, which that's coming. At some point it's coming, folks. I mean,
of course
there's no way around it. I mean, I don't care if it takes another year or 6 months or 5 years or whatever, it's coming. You know, where that's the problem right now is they don't really, quote unquote, in their minds, need us. Oh, I can put a sign in the yard, put it in Zillow, and I can sell my house. Yeah, that's probably true. But, you know, you still need someone to handle all the paperwork, the legal aspects, you know.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit, and I'll tell you why. Because I agree with you. There's people out there, a lot of them, and more power to them. If you feel like you could sell your house without a realtor in this crazy market, go for it. I'm 100% all about that.
All by owner. You know, do it.
But here's the thing, John. Most people, I would say the vast majority of them, 90%+, they know better. They know they need a realtor.
Agreed.
It's that simple. It's never going to change. If something like that doesn't change organically, it's not going to change. Some stupid law by the DOJ who doesn't know real estate from a piece of rye bread comes up with this new rule. It's not going to change anything, and it hasn't. Yep. Has it changed anything for you?
That's why 93%, I think that's the last number I saw on it, of for sale by owners end up listing with a broker because they can't sell. They don't even know how to sell. Most people, no offense, you know, but it's like, they don't know. They don't know step one. I have clients. Most of my clients are like, look, dude, you handle it. You know, whatever it takes. Yeah. They're not going to sit and pick it apart, you know, because they know you're there to help. You handle it, John. You're the guy, you know.
Exactly. It's like, you know, when you go to a doctor or you go to an accountant and they're doing your taxes, you don't come in and say, hey, you know, I think we should do it this way because I'll get away with paying less taxes. Let's try it this way first. And then let's go to your doctor, you listen to your doctor.
Yeah.
And I'm not equating brokers with doctors or anybody or doctors with I'm just making a point that listen to the professional you're working with, because let me tell you something. You get one bite at the apple to list your home right. It's that simple.
Got about 3 weeks, you're upside down.
Boom. Your price from that 3 week point down goes like that.
Absolutely.
It's as simple as that. That's facts. I mean, forget, you know, you might hate real estate brokers, whatever, but that is the fact. If you don't price your home right, after about 3 weeks, you're going to regret it. You're going to be like that bell curve that goes like this.
Hey, Fannie loves 3 months. So what does that tell you? You know, in the market for 3 months. It's crazy.
They're crazy. That's how they price homes. I mean,
Still the same.
Oh yeah, they're nuts, and I honestly don't know why they do that. I have no idea what.
I don't know. They told us in meetings. They go, we want to market it for 90 to 120 days. It's like, okay, why? You know. So yeah, it's crazy.
Insane. Hey, real quick, I'm curious. I just want everyone to know this. So, I was in the REO business for a long time. You've been in it for a long time. It's obviously slowed down, right?
Understatement of the year.
It was back in its heyday. And, you know, just like with everything, it ebbs and flows. And, you know, nothing stays the same in the real estate market. It's the one thing you can count on is it's going to change. So if you're, like you said, if you're a seller now and you think you can get away without offering buyer agency concessions, maybe you can now for a little while. I don't think you can, but you're not going to be able to do that when it's a buyer's market.
No, that's the only reason why they can get away with this now, because they don't, in their minds, a lot of these people's mind, they don't need us.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, you do. And you're going to need us when this thing really starts to get waffly. Hey, man, all you got to do is look in the South, Florida, Texas. There are 100,000 hour price drops down there. That stuff's like cascading downhill right now. People don't know it because we're in Chicago and everything's great. Everything is still great here. But all you got to do is remember the past. In 08, that's how it started. It started in the speculative areas in the South. It started rampaging down there, and then it worked its way north. And I'm not saying, oh, that means we're going to have a crash. I'm just telling you that there's going to be a pullback at some point. I mean, and the forbearances are rising right now. So people are going into forbearance. And, you know, they're not – you can hide in forbearance for years right now.
Oh,
and that's what's happening, you know. That's why there's no foreclosures. Because they're comfortably sitting in forbearance. A lot of these forbearances, I mean, I evicted one. I think I told you on the last show that we evicted one in Elgin that, he said he did two loan modifications. He hadn't paid since 2018, you know, and that was 6 months ago. It's like, you know, that's not a free market, you know, so whatever, you know, they want to do that. That's fine.
I think servicers, unlike when I was doing this, heavily into the REO market, 2008 through about 2017 or 18, servicers do not want these properties back.
Of course not. Yeah, they don't want
them. They've been through that mess. They want no freaking part of that anymore.
Right.
So I think
they're paid. They, you know, they're backed up by the feds. I mean, they're backing up these, you know, like the FHA, the delinquency rate's 13% right now. That's pretty freaking high, you know.
But you know what's weird? So our economy grew at about 2.8%, right? Pretty good. Yeah. It grew at about 2.8%. The reason it grew is because of consumer spending. So who are all these people out there spending all this money and at the same time complaining about inflation?
Yeah, they're rampaging. It doesn't matter, man. The delinquencies on the credit cards are, you know, that's blowing up because people are going to keep buying the stuff they want. Right now, there has not been enough pain to force people out of it. And that's why, you know, their interest rates, the Fed lowers the rate. It's like, why? You know, if they want to slow the thing down, they need to raise the rates, but they don't want to do that because they got to pay all this debt, you know. Yeah, the whole thing is just this trick bag of goodies that, you know, it's insane. The job numbers, it's like, oh, there was another great job number this morning, and it's like that I'm sure will be revised down in the middle of the month. And it's like, you know, you don't know what's real. That's the problem, you know.
Yeah, so much, you know, we're in this age of information where we
get too much information.
Exactly. From the internet, from newspapers, from the radio, from television, from the people you know in your sphere of influence and, you know, people that influence you. And I think it just gets confusing and overwhelming. Hey, before I let you go, what's like the biggest difference between an REO agent, an agent that focuses very acutely on foreclosures and distressed properties, and an agent that does typical retail real estate, working with John Q. Public, helping them buy and sell? What's the difference, would you say, the big difference between...
Oh, we have to have about 50 grand available to pay all their bills.
So explain that.
Well, I mean, you know, you remember, I mean, I remember the banks, when you get an REO, you know, they go, hey, well, hey, here's the water bill, the electric bill. This is back in the day. They don't do that anymore. But back in the day, electric bill, the water bill, the gas bill, the HOA bills, you had to pay all those out of pocket and get reimbursed maybe 60 days later, maybe 90, maybe 120, you know. what are you going to do? Tell them you don't like that because that's your client, you know? So yeah. you can run up some pretty good deficits with these guys, you know? And I mean, I remember at one point back in the crash, I know you had more than I had. I had like $100,000 owed to me for reimbursements just because it's not that they weren't going to pay it, but they were so far behind on process.
I'll give you a little pushback on that one too, about not paying you. But yeah, before I get into that. A
different apple for that. Yeah.
What John is talking about is when you manage these properties for a Fannie Mae or Freddie or any big servicer or Chase or whatever, back in the day, I'm not sure how it is now exactly, but back in the day, we would pay all of the gas bills, all the electric bills, all the water bills. We'd have to take care of all the liens. I remember one time there was a property in Joliet I had under contract that had a $10,000 lien on it, and I had to pay the lien off before we could close the deal. And yeah. I was going to make nothing on this deal, right? It was literally an $11,000 property we were selling that someone was going to tear down.
I remember those days, man.
Right. With a $10,000 lien on it, and I had to remove the lien and pay it before it closed, of which I was going to make like $1,000 on this property. Right.
So
I called the director up at Fannie Mae in Chicago, and I'm like, hey, I'll pay this, but I'm getting reimbursed at closing. I'm not waiting to get reimbursed on 10 G's. So if you can agree to that, I'm happy to do that. And he was like, oh yeah, we'll get that done. And I did get paid at closing.
Yeah.
But I'm like, to get back to your point, there was a time when I was up to my ears in debt with Fannie Mae. They owed me like $240,000 in reimbursement.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yep. I had to like get on the phone with them and say, hey, not for nothing, but you owe me like $250,000 in reimbursements, right. $70 at a time with gas bills and water bills. What are we going to do about this? I probably left that whole thing with Fannie Mae with them owing me $70,000-$80,000 that I never got back. And that's the truth. I mean, I'm not, you know, what are you going to do? Sue Fannie Mae? I actually, I got into a situation where I did have to enjoin them in a lawsuit and I got my money, but it's like, who wants to have to do that crap?
Right. Yeah. That's not that negative stuff. It's like, I'd rather be working on something positive than that. Yeah. You know?
So that's the biggest, I think you're right. That's probably the biggest difference when you're working in the REO market and managing these foreclosures from cradle to grave, from when they first get into the REO process, and we're judicial foreclosure state. So they can be in the foreclosure process for 2 years. You both have had properties in our inventory for 2-3 years before they ever hit the market.
That's gotten worse, man. They're in there now for years and years. They don't want to foreclose. They'd rather, just kick the can down. That's really what they're doing, is they're just kicking these cans down the road. Because these people aren't going to pay. I mean, we've been doing target marketing, and we're actually tracking anybody with FHA loans, and we're looking at, in the tax records, who's got a lot of these people are doing is they're getting the second mortgage from HUD to cover the money that they're past due on. So we see in the tax records the $50,000 that from through HUD second mortgage that they're giving them, and these people they don't have money to even take care of the house. Yeah. So even if you go, okay, we'll put the $50,000 on the back, they still can't pay it. They still can't afford these homes, and that's where you're going to see the big. A lot of these homes are just going to be beat to heck before they finally get through the system,
Yeah, I think you're right. There's some surprises coming down the road. I don't think it's going to be a big time foreclosure dump or anything like that. But I think there's some things coming down the road as a result of all the debt Americans are holding right now.
Absolutely. So
we'll have to see what happens with that. Before I cut you loose to go have your Halloween party and all that and eat your candy corn, how do people get in touch with you in the Batavia area or wherever if they're looking to buy or sell?
Yeah, we're in downtown Batavia. 28 South Water Street, Suite 302, Batavia, right downtown, right next to McDonald's and Riverside Pizza. You can text or call anytime, 630-601-1300.
Awesome. Listen, always good talking to you. I'll talk you to too, you again man. Soon. And have yourself a great weekend coming up.
You too, man. Happy Halloween, everybody.
All right, bud. See ya.
Take care, man. See ya.
Yep. All right, everybody. That was John Hoffman, broker owner over at Why Rent Real Estate in Batavia. So give him a call if you're in that area looking to buy and sell, buy or sell. John is a great guy, and I can tell you now you'd be making a great move giving John a call if, of course, you're not going to call me. All right. So the other thing is, real quickly, I just want to touch on some of the things going on in the market right now. So U.S. home prices went up again modestly by about 3% in October. And in August, I believe they went up about 4%. So prices are still going up moderately, and I don't see that changing unless inventory changes significantly. But while we are still short on inventory, prices will continue to rise, or certainly stay stable, but probably rise by a little bit. So if you're waiting for prices to come down, I think that's a fool's errand. I don't think that's going to be the case. Mortgage rates are back up to about 7%, and that's as a result of the job market still being pretty hot and the economy in general still chugging along here. So you're not going to see the Feds raise their lower their rates that much, which doesn't always affect mortgage rates anyway. And I don't think you're going to see mortgage rates come down much while the economy is going along and the job market is going along. So existing home sales kind of show the market is still frozen. You know, we're not seeing a lot of action in terms of home sales. So those are the three things. Interest rates right back up to around 7%. So when we were at 6.5%, if you were waiting for them to go lower, you might want to rethink that. I don't think it's a great idea to try and predict the market. Get in when you can, and you can always refinance. And then the other thing, of course, is home prices still rising modestly. That's not going to change. So having said that, everybody, have an awesome Halloween. Go have some fun. And we are going to see you again next Thursday. We have another great guest coming up. And we hope you guys have a great weekend. And, you know, don't eat too much candy. That's the main thing. Don't eat too much candy. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next Thursday at 11:30.
Thanks for joining us on Real Estate Radio with your host, Larry Shagman, the real estate therapist and top producing broker. Now go to TrustedAgentUSA.com and save thousands when you sell, buy, or invest. Illinois license number 475-145-795. Tune in next week for the ultimate real estate radio experience.